Monday, August 4th. Commemoration of St. Dominic. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Dearly beloved, I charge thee before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, by his coming and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, entreat, rebuke in all patience and doctrine. For there shall be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and will indeed turn away their hearing from the truth, but will be turned unto fables. But be thou vigilant, labor in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. Be sober, for I am even now ready to be sacrificed, and the time of my dissolution is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. As to the rest, there is laid up for me a crown of justice, which the Lord, the just judge, will render to me in that day, and not only to me, but to them also that love his coming. Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead. The dead, that is, all those that have been dead for so many ages since the beginning of the world, and the living, that is, those who shall be found living at the end of the world, but who shall die and be presently raised again. See 1 Corinthians 15:52. In season, out of season, that is, whether the hearers are willing to hearken to thee or not, or, as others understand it, whether it be convenient or inconvenient for thee, to signify that the ministers of God must not desist from preaching whatever troubles they are under. The hearers will have itching ears running after novelties and such doctrines as favor their passions. I am even now ready to be sacrificed. The time of my dissolution is at hand. This makes many judge that this letter was written during his last imprisonment, but the sense perhaps may be that being old and worn out with labors, he would not live long. A crown of justice which the Lord, the just judge, will render to me. These words confirm the Catholic doctrine that good works performed with the assistance of God's grace deserve and are meritorious of a reward in heaven. It is what is signified first by a crown of justice, second from a just judge, third, which he will render or give as a reward. Yet we admit with St. Augustine that we have no merit but what is also a gift of God from his grace and mercy, and grounded on his promises. God is not unjust that he should forget your works. The Gospel from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let your loins be girt, and lamps burning in your hands, and you yourselves like to men who wait for their Lord when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Amen, I say to you, that he will gird himself, and make them sit down to meat, and passing will minister unto them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But this know ye, that if the householder did know at what hour the thief would come, he would surely watch, and would not suffer his house to be broken open. Be you then also ready. For at what hour you think not, the Son of Man will come." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. Christ had told them that it pleased the Father to give them the kingdom. Sell therefore what you possess, and give alms, that you may by this means purchase this kingdom. He now urges them diligently to prepare for it as being at hand, and girding their loins, and casting aside every care, to enter upon and take possession of it. That is, be you prepared and furnished with all graces and good works and merits, especially almsgiving and contempt of riches, that when Christ our Lord from heaven and his heavenly marriage and joys returns to you in death to judge your souls, you may meet him and be found worthy by him of heaven, and be brought thither by him. Mystically, we gird our loins when we restrain the luxury of the flesh by abstinence, so say St. Gregory and St. Augustine. St. Peter Chrysologus says, "He commands us to gird our loins by the belt of purity, and to bind our whole body in the zone of virtue, that we may go forth quickly and expeditiously to meet our Lord at his coming." Christ commands us to be ready, with loins girt, for good works and for our passage to heaven. He now fitly requires our lamps to be burning, for these are needed by night, whether for work or for taking a journey. For this, our life, is a mystical night, and is full of ignorance, errors, and the darkness of concupiscence, so that we have need of light and lighted lamps, that we travel on in that night and perform our work. He alludes especially to the marriage feast, which was celebrated at night with torches. As in the nighttime the servants await their Lord on his return from his marriage with lighted torches and go before him, so do ye watch and await me as I return to you from heaven by death, and go before me with spiritual torches, for you know not the day and hour of your death and the coming of Christ to judgment. If you know this, you will be prepared and expect him every hour, for so the virgins with their lamps lighted await the bridegroom. If it be asked what the lighted lamps signify, Theophylactus answers, firstly, they signify that we ought to have the light of reason and discretion to distinguish what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. And secondly, we should have faith burning with love and fervor of spirit, for this will show us what to do and what to avoid, will urge us to lofty acts of virtue, and incite us to teach others the way of faith and salvation, and inspire them with the love of God, and not suffer any to live in the darkness of ignorance and sin. To hold a lamp in the hand is the same as to preach the gospel. In the girding of the loins is shown purity, in the staff, pastoral rule, in the lighted lamps, the brightness of good works. St. Gregory also understands by the shining lamps, good examples. We hold lighted lamps in our hands, he says, when by our good works we show examples of light to our neighbors. Two things are commanded us, to have our loins girded and our lamps lighted, as our innocence and purity of body and the light of truth in our actions. For purity is of little value without a good life, or a good act without chastity. St. Augustine says, girt loins means abstinence from secular affairs, lighted lamps, the doing of the same thing with the true object and right intention. St. Maximus says, the lighted lamps are prayer, contemplation, and spiritual love. Origen thinks that allusion is here made to the torches of the army of Gideon, and that as their sudden discovery terrified the Midianites, so the apostles and martyrs, when their bodies had been shattered and broken by martyrdom, began to shine forth by their miracles, by which the persecutors were put to flight, and thus their doctrine and holiness shone throughout the world. From these words of Christ has arisen the custom of placing in the hands of the faithful, when in their last agony, lighted and blessed candles of wax, to show that they are going to meet Christ with faith and burning love, and to excite them to it.